Hello, world, and welcome to the Wolf's Den today. Today we have Mr. Monty Shepherd in the studio. Hello, Monty, and how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm doing great.
That's good. Glad to have you here. Now, Monty, from Lark's Harbor, Newfoundland, tell me that's way out past Corner Brook.
It is about 32 miles out past Corner Brook. It's Lark Harbor.
Lark Harbor,
yeah.
So you have to...
With no S.
Yes, a Lark Harbor. Okay, so now if you want to go caribou hunting, you have to come in a little bit, do you?
Yeah, well, that's a good place for moose hunting.
There you go. There's
not a lot of caribou around anymore.
Not anymore, no.
No.
You know, it's funny, because my family's from down along the Buren Peninsula, like we were talking before we started taping here. My family's from down around the Buren Peninsula, and when I was a kid, I don't ever remember a moose being down there. And now you drive by Garnish or Frenchman's Cove or anything like that, anytime after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're taking your life in your own hands.
That's right.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
But now the caribou, on the other hand, what used to be a plentiful little commodity, is now just a tasty treat.
That's right.
It used to be a staple of food. Now it's just a treat.
That's right.
So now, Monty, you've been around the music scene for a long time, but a lot of people wouldn't know that because...
Well, that's right.
You're not one of the guys that's usually up front. You're a songwriter.
That's right. I've been writing songs a long time. Since I was about 15 years old.
Okay.
Right? I started playing and writing songs pretty well at the same time almost.
Well, now, back in the day, were you living in Newfoundland when you started?
Yes, I was. I grew up in Lark Harbor, like you said.
And yeah.
My biggest influence, I guess, back there was my dad.
Is that right?
There was my dad had a band in the basement and practicing in the basement, and I knew that sooner or later I'd have to take it up, you know? Right? So I had no other choice, right?
Well, that's it.
You know?
Said, father's playing a guitar, well, boy, I got to take her
that's
up.
That's it, yeah. Dad was the local musician, singer, songwriter. And he didn't write songs, but he sang and played almost anything, played almost any instrument.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Imagine accordion's in there somewhere.
Well, that was more my grandfather. My mom's dad was a really good accordion player.
Okay.
Really good. Now, you watch him playing, the box wouldn't move. The squeeze box wouldn't move. You couldn't see it move.
Yeah.
Slight that...
Yeah.
And there's only a couple people around I've seen do that. One is his son, my Uncle Clarence, who I'm named after. Montgomery Clarence Shepherd, the whole name. And... the other one is Uncle Clarence's grandson, Zachariah. He's going to be happy I mentioned his name. And, you know, Zachariah can play that thing. He's just a young guy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an art.
It's a fading art.
Yeah.
And he's like 19, 1920, and he can play it.
I met my sister. I was adopted, and I met my sister when I was 16.
Right.
And she lived in Ottawa. And when I got there, I was only there for a day or so, and she says, listen, I got to go. For a couple hours, she said, I have to go for my music lesson.
Right.
And I was like, really? Like, what do you play? Right? I'm thinking, you know, like, I'm hoping she's playing electric guitar or bass or drums or something. And she looks at me with this scowl on her face and she says, accordion. That's exactly what I did. I laughed. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. She said, my father insisted that I learned to play the accordion. She said, I begged him to play the piano, but no. He said, that's too big to carry around.
He said,
you're gonna play the accordion. Now, she just had a birthday the other day. I don't know if she still plays it or if she burned the one that he gave her or what. I hope not, because it would have been a good one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So now, growing up in the Rock, you started writing songs.
I did.
And what was the influence to get you doing that now?
Well, it wasn't like it is today with computers and stuff like that, for sure. So it wasn't so easy. But my influence came from, my dad's albums and my brother, Cecil. My dad's albums, I was more interested in, he was into the old, you know, Hank Snow, Wolf Carter and stuff, and Hank Williams. And that was good stuff, too, because back in the day. You know, I really liked that, too, but... I was more into his Waylon Jennings that he had, and Willie Nelson, and you know. So it just so happens that my dad taught this young man how to play guitar. His name was Harold Wheeler. Harold Wheeler goes off after that time how to play up to Toronto and ends up playing with Roy Payne, right, from The Rock, you know, Roy Payne from Trout River.
Yeah.
So he ended up playing with him and did albums and stuff and whatever, toured all over Canada with Roy Payne. And he ended up down playing with Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings for a period of time. So when he came back to the Rock, he got a band going with my dad. And that was New River Train, they called the band. And that's where, like I said, that's where it all began for me, right?
Okay.
Listening to that, and then my brother Cecil coming home from Toronto, and I'd start to learn how to play guitar. And he was in the back, in the bedroom, playing Silver Tongue Devil, Chris Christopherson.
Chris Christopherson, yes.
And I said, I'm learning how to play that song.
Yeah.
Cecil still uses his thumb, you know, drums with his thumb and stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know, anyhow, I don't know if I embarrassed him. I started playing and he slowed down. I just sped up and he slowed down, right?
Well, you know what? Sometimes one person will start something.
Yeah.
Somebody else will get the bug, and then the other person says, well, you know what? I thought I was okay, but now I realize that, you know, there's a little bit more shine over there, so that's maybe I'll just, you know, I'll play once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
well, he's back at it. He slowed down a little bit, but now he's I'm proud of him. He's out in the church all the time playing songs and singing, and I'm proud of him. He loves it.
I don't think it's really possible for somebody that's really got it in their system.
That's right.
I don't think they can ever really get away from it.
Quit. No.
Well, if they do, I think they go a little bit gaga.
That's right.
You know, you've got to be able to get that out of you.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
I knew a guy when I was a young fella, and I mean, I always wondered if, I felt bad for the guy because he literally could not stay still. Yeah. Like if he was standing still, his fingers were going.
I know.
You know, like he was tapping his fingers and doing this and clapping and snapping, but he just never, ever, ever stood still. And I used to wonder, I wonder what he does when he goes to bed. Like, does his mother tie him in or something? Because, my goodness, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I used to get tired just looking at him.
Yeah.
So now, okay, so your brother and your dad are getting you going here playing music. And then, do you remember what the first song you wrote was?
That's a hard one. It was Cowboy and the Lady with the Crown. That was the name of the song. But
okay.
I can't even remember how the tune goes. None of it. Right? You know, that's so long ago, it's crazy.
So.
Right? But I just kept trying and trying and trying and trying.
Yeah.
One time I lost about 20 songs. They got pulled out by my ex's cat. The cat pulled them out from where they were and pulled them into the litter box.
Oh, nice.
And made a mess. And so then I lost all works of that.
Now but you could have had an album, see, you know, out of the kitty litter.
Yeah, that's right. Out of the kitty litter. Back out of the kitty. What an idea. I'll have to try that. My next song. But, yeah. So, you know, I just kept trying to write and kept trying. And every now and then I'll come across one, you know, that I've lost a long time ago and I'll surprise myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it does happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, you know, at times it comes easy and times it comes hard.
I think that's pretty much the same with. Now, we're going to listen to a couple of tunes here from some of your stuff. But when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, it coming easy and it coming hard and how it comes, because with everybody, it comes different.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to Mr. Monty Shepherd right here in the Wolf's Den on CIOE 97.5, the home of East Coast music, also streaming live at www.communityradio.ca.
From the past today, I didn't really have a lot to say. I wasn't sure who I was talking to. I didn't think it was you. So where you been, where you coming from? You gotta tell me what's been going on. What kind of trouble you been getting into? The kind I got in with you. night I got in with you. Now me, I've been in and out of a few situations, and sometimes giving more than what I've been taking, and spending more money than what I've been making. I found the one who sets me right again. My head, we're still alive but shouldn't be instead. I still recall what my mom had said. I guess she told me the truth. Life can throw you a curve sometimes. It may be rough but it comes out fine. It's not all blue skies and sunshine. I know she told me the truth. I know she told me the truth. Now me, I've been in and out of a few situations, and sometimes giving more than what I've been taking, spending more money than what I've been making. Again, I found the one who sets me right again. I found the one who sets me right again. freshness in the air. And see that beauty everywhere.
Welcome back to the Wolf's Den today, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Mr. Monty Shepherd in the house now. Monty, all the way from Lark Harbor in Newfoundland a long, long time ago. I'm not going to say that, like, you know, all that long ago, but...
81. Yeah. Been there ever since.
Yeah.
It'll be 39 years in January.
And what brought you?
February.
Did you come right to Halifax from there?
Yes, February 11th I left. Well, yeah, 13th I flew out. February 11th, I went to a hotel room and I was joined the military, joined the Navy.
Ah, that's so you were off to Cornwallis.
I was off to Cornwallis.
Oh.
So February 11th, I left home. February 13th, I flew to Halifax.
All right, and then you took that. Then you took that bus ride down to the valley.
Yes, I did.
You found the barber as soon as you got there.
Yes, I did.
And then you found that cranky guy that made you make your bed a certain way every day.
I found them too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know what my father always used to say to me, my son? He said, "You know, you should join the military. There's no life like it." And I said, "Yes, Daddy." I said, "I know." I said, "But military jail just doesn't really appeal to me." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "The first day that guy took the quarter and bounced it on my bed and took all my stuff and threw it on the floor and threw it out the door and everything like that, I said, I'd be up on assault charges."
Yeah.
No, at 17, I didn't have the fortitude to be that smart.
Signed up on my birthday.
And you joined the Navy.
I joined the Navy and I went off with my guitar in my hand. I had Yamaha. My mom and dad bought me a couple of years before for my birthday.
And then you got
I had to take my guitar with me.
Then you got to drill about which one was the gun.
Well, yeah, that's it. Got to learn how to do that.
So, now you're in the military, so then obviously you're in the Navy, you're on board ship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a thing all by itself.
Sure it was.
How many ships did you serve on? And thank you for your service, too, by the
thank
way.
Thank you. You're welcome. I was on the Algonquin and the Saguenay. It's two ships.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of my best friends in the whole world, he still comes to my place and jams with me. And we had a little band on the Saguenay. And he was over at my place on Saturday to my wife's birthday party, actually.
Nice.
And we had played a couple songs. And
Yeah,
still doing it.
I grew up just outside of Windsor Park.
Yeah.
And had lots of friends that lived in the park and relatives that lived in the park and that were on pretty much every ship there was. And I played ball for the military and stuff like that as a civilian and that. But so you're in the military.
Yeah.
And then you land up here in Halifax.
Yes, I did, yeah.
So you were posted, I imagine, one of the ships while you were obviously East Coast. Posted on both of those ships because neither one of them was West Coast. They were both East Coast ships. Yeah.
I was only in the Navy for 5 years, but I met some people at the time that introduced me to an important person that got me introduced to all the musicians that you guys know.
And who would that be?
That would be Paul Martel.
Paul Martel.
Paul Martel.
Okay.
Our friend, you know Paul, right?
Yep.
our friend Paul Martel, our harmonica player, right?
So, okay, so you meet Paul.
I meet Paul at a party, at a friend's place.
All right.
And then Paul says, man, he says, you got to come out with me. He says, I'm playing with a band. And I said, who are you playing with? He said, well, this Sunday I'm playing with Sam Moon and Richie Oakley and Sam's band. Okay. Andrew was playing bass. And
yeah.
Sam, I can't remember the guy's name. Sam's drummer, whoever he was at the time. If Andrew was there, he would know the name. He'd pop it right off. But anyhow, yeah, so went there, and me and Paul, and I was a bit nervous, you know. Sam was going to get me up with his band. So we had a little chat, and he said, well, you get up with Paul. So me and Paul got up. So the next week, I go back, and Paul was supposed to be coming back. It was a rainy day. Taxi business was good, you know, Paul driving taxi, you know. So he didn't show up. So now here I am, you know, yeah. So my wife was with me, and she knew Sam. So she sat with Sam while I got up with his band. And that was a good experience.
He's a good
Richie
man.
Oakley. Yeah. First guitar player ever played with, first band I ever played with in my life, because I always played by myself, was Richie Oakley, Andrew Lambert, and like I said, Sam's drummer. Right? So I got lucky right off get-go.
I would say that's a way to cut your teeth.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, because Richie could be brutal.
Oh, well, Richie was great. All I had to do was get up on stage and start playing. Didn't
you know what?
Say nothing.
He was an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Nova Scotia wouldn't be the same.
No.
Without Richie and Wayne and well, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
So now, all this time you're playing with these guys, but at the end of the day, the real thing that you really want to do is write music.
Yeah, write music. I had been writing, like I said, for a long time. But then there's another person I got introduced to, who I'm going to mention there now. Paul says, I know this guitar player, man, you got to meet him, right? So he brings me and introduced me to Bill Wallingham. So me and Bill became friends instantly. And
that was hard to do, wasn't it?
That was tough.
He was such a hard guy to like.
Yeah. But a couple of months or so into this meeting Bill, I realized that I'd met Bill before. I met Bill at Bob Lejeune's place with Danny Eisen. Me and I walk in there, you know, I'm going to visit my friend, and there's Bill Wallingham and Danny Eisen. So me and Danny have been friends forever. And me and Danny and Bill, you know, it seems like, you know.
Yeah.
But I got this, you know, this new friend, Bill Wallingham. And gee, I knew him. I knew him 3 or 4 years before.
Yeah.
You know? So anyhow, we start playing and stuff and whatever. And he's over at our place a lot. And I'm out with the boys over the boiler room. We used to go over there and play all the time. Right? Yeah. Same crew. Paul on harmonica. Andrew. Timmy Garrigan
on the drums. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yep. And there was, you know, Zipper.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, Zipper Morris. Yeah,
that's right. Donnie Morris.
Yep.
Yeah, and
rest his soul. You know what? We're talking about a few of these guys are gone now, you know.
That's right. Timmy Brackett.
Yeah.
We lost him just a while back, but he'd be around, same thing, and scatter tune here and there. Same down at the Purcell's Cove Club. We were back and forth there a nice bit, too.
Right? Yeah, and you know, and that's a little hidden gem that a lot of people really don't know about. Yeah. Actually, I think the Wolfsden's going to try to invade there one of these weekends. I think we're just going to sneak in the door and see if we can't just clandestinely set up our shop and see what we can get.
Sounds good.
You know? But now, Bill must have been an inspiration.
Bill was a big inspiration. That's what I'm getting at. Yes. So I'd go over to Bill's. Me and Bill be sitting there. He wouldn't even have his guitar plugged in. He'd be just sitting there banging on it, and we're chatting, smoking cigarettes, whatever, talking. And sometimes he'd have music on playing. Other times he just, it was just absorbing into my body.
Yeah.
You know, Bill didn't teach me nothing. I'll tell you, right off get-go, Bill did not sit down with the guitar and show me chords and show me and show me that.
Yeah.
That's just not how it happened. But I'd go home, and somehow I knew shit. Excuse the language.
That's all right. No, you're,
But I just did. And it's I take this chord or whatever he was doing and I start playing this chord. Next thing you know is I'm writing a song. And the following Wednesday, me and Bill would go down to another friend's place, Al Gallagher, and record. We were doing some recording there. That's where those songs I sent you there, whatever. And that's where that was done, right? Pepperell Street.
And, oh, my, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, Bill, me and Bill would be sitting, and I'd go home, and next thing I'd see him, I'd have a new song. So we'd sit down, and Bill was something else. He'd sit there and play. I'd sit there and play my song. And after I played the song, basically, I was just handing him instruments.
Yeah.
You know, I'd hand him the bass guitar. And he did.
He'd play the bass line sort of, yeah.
What style do you want on the bass? And then I'd hand him the lead guitar. And I'd look at my friend there, Al, and say, make sure you hit that button. Don't forget not to turn that recorder on. And man, oh.
Listen, we've been down that road. Don't even go there.
And that happened so many times, it's crazy. But as could you expect Bill, even Bill, as good of a guitar player, to reproduce what he just played when he just played it the first time?
And you know, right? And you know what, Monty? And I think that's one of the main reasons that I love live music over recorded music. Don't get me wrong. I love recorded music as well. But for me, there's nothing better than live because I want to see the blemishes. I want to see the mistakes. Yeah. I want to see you.
The human. Right?
Yeah, and I think anybody that's brave enough to go up there and do that should never be criticized. I don't care if you sound like 10 cats in a bag getting squashed.
That's right.
Okay, if you got enough jam to get up there and to do it,
yeah.
and you feel good enough about yourself to get up there and do it, then there's nobody that should be able to criticize you. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to a couple of more songs right here in the Wolf's Den from Mr. Monty Shepherd.
Sure what I should do. I had a lock put upon it. I had a lock put upon it right from the start. I'd been living in a world of blue. I had a lock put upon it. I had a lock put upon it. I thought that was smart. And now I think I know almost every little thing about you. And you hold the key to my heart. All of those little things, you knew them right from the start. Trouble that I've been through, I had a lock put upon it. I had a lock put upon it. Thought that was smart. I didn't think that I'd meet you. I had a lock put upon it. I had a lock put upon it right from the start. And now I think I know almost every little thing about you. And you hold the key to my heart. All of those little things, you knew them right from the start. We'll be right back. shot a ray of sun. There's something that I must confess, is that you're always, you know you're always, you're always number one. All I know is that loving comes easy. All I know is with you. All I know is that loving comes easy. Wanna turn the tide with love as big as the sea. You held your arms spread out wide. You were reaching, I saw you reaching. You're always reaching for me, yeah. Now all I know is that loving comes easy. All I know is with you. All I know is that loving comes easy with you. With you. With you.
Welcome back to the Wolf's Den, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Monty Shepherd in the studio with us today, and I can't talk worth beans. Monty, so you've been writing with Bill, and you're doing all that stuff now. Things progress. We get a little bit closer to, let's say, now.
Yeah.
Okay. You never quit. You always kept doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
Now, you did play with different bands over the years.
A little bit there and there, yes.
But for the most part, you've spent your time kind of like backstage
writing and
stuff, yeah, like that, right?
And only basically recording, just to get it down, to get tracks down so that I got something for someone to listen to, or
yeah,
friends and stuff, and you know.
Okay, so most of the stuff that you write, is it fact, is it fiction, is it a mixture?
Well, it started out with a lot of fiction, but there's a mixture. I guess my biggest muse is my wife. I've tried to write a good love song so many times, it's crazy, you know? But I had to put that away a few years ago. I just stopped and started writing about other stuff. And then recently I came up with a song. I think maybe it's probably the best love song I ever wrote. But it takes, sometimes you got to put it away.
So now when you sit down, do you sit down to write a song? Do you, like now, I know... JW here is in a songwriters group, and like, I mean, they'll give people titles, right? You know, like, you know, my dog ate my homework, and they got to make a song up about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't do that.
You know, now, like, but, yeah, like, how does it, like, is it just a thought that comes to you? Is it a note? What is it? Is it the music first?
It's music first with me.
Okay.
It's not lyrics. I've never, ever usually written lyrics down and then try to put music to it. I've tried that a couple times. It doesn't work good with me. I come up with If I can come up with a melody and then I keep playing it over and over, and then I'll start humming. Then I'll start whistling. And I'll slowly work that. It could be, maybe it's the chorus, maybe it's the verse, but one section at a time. And after I get that in my head and get it flowing, I'll just keep playing it until something pops out.
So the chorus, the chorus will tell you that it's the chorus, and the verses will
right,
tell you?
Right. From, I usually start from my first line, and I don't know what the rest of the song is going to be until I get there. I just, it's like opening up a tap, turning the tap on.
So whatever comes out of the faucet, right, that's what you get.
Well, that's what I'll start writing, but then now I may go back and rearrange words and scratch out stuff, and it could be a mess by the time I'm done. Sometimes it'll just flow off, you know, flow right onto the page. But sometimes I'm stuck and just can't get nothing done. You know, you got to get up, whatever, go take a walk, whatever.
Yeah.
Read some air.
Yeah, yeah.
Come back.
Just
again.
Go away and look at it with different eyes.
Come. That's right.
Yeah.
You just can't think, can't get nothing to,
yeah,
to start, you know.
Yeah, I did stand-up comedy for a bunch of years, and I know writing material, yeah, some days it just flows, and then other days... Right. And I'm much like you, my wife. Yes. My wife is my best subject.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, exactly. There ain't no love songs, let me tell you. But she's funny, right? Yeah. And she's got a good sense of humor. Yeah. But yeah, she's got a good sense of humor. So, you know, that always works out okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
that's
lucky.
Good. That helps.
I've been with her almost 30 years, that so helps. She'd have to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, usually it's the music that comes to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. The music, and then I go from there. And it's hard to explain, but I love writing. I love creating words. I love putting words together, and I really like coming up with a good phrase. You know, every now and then, come up with something good. You know, it's about friends. It's about relationships. You know, I've written two different songs about basically friends from the past, or on the new album I got, there's Face from the Past, and on the other one, it's.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called. It's something about old friends from back, you know.
Yeah.
And wondering what you've been doing and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know? But, I've tried to write about seafaring a little bit. I managed to get a couple out of that, you know.
And so, are you writing about...
Rock, blues, you know?
Are you writing about stuff that you know, or sometimes is it just off the cuff? Or?
Sometimes it's off the cuff. Yeah. It's just, yeah. It could be anything. Like, I wrote a song, the last song on this other album I just brought you guys to let you listen to. Last song on that is called Spunky on the Peanut Highway. That's about the squirrel out back feeding in the bird feeder.
Okay.
Right? There's nothing faster than Spunky on the Peanut Highway.
There.
So, you can write a song about anything, you know?
Yeah.
Right? You can write a song about the kitchen sink if you want.
Listen, you know what?
You know what I mean?
I know a lady, I say she can get up in the morning and she can rub her eyes, walk out to the kitchen, look at the dishes in the sink, and sit down at the kitchen table and write a song about doing the dishes.
Sure.
Before she even did them.
Sure.
Right?
That's
and then
possible.
Do another one, come back and do another one about drying them and putting them away.
That's right.
Right?
Sure.
Me, I couldn't write a song, buddy.
Yeah.
No, B. We'd be here 10 years from now, and you'd be saying, how you doing with that song? I said, oh, I got the first line.
Yeah. It was, anyhow, I was just, popping my head there. It was Danny Eiston that took me down to Andrew's place and said, we got to go down there and see Andrew. And I knew Andrew, of course, but I hadn't been there, you know?
Yeah.
Well, in his studio and all that. And so that's where all the recording got going. And
you know, it's funny, too, because, like, Andrew, when I think about Andrew, when ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Andrew Lambert here, gentleman we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and that has Sadie's studio just down the road from where we're at right here now. The people that he has played with over the years.
Yeah.
You know?
Some names.
You can always tell when you meet somebody that's good.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they never tell you.
Yeah.
Right? The guys that come up to you and tell you that they're really good guitar players and they're really good singers and all that, 9 times out of 10, you know they're not.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if they were, they wouldn't be telling you.
Andrew's not going to be talking like that.
You know, and Andrew reminds me a lot of another friend of mine, Bill Elliott.
Yeah.
If you ask Bill Elliott what he does, Bill Elliott will tell you he drives truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He won't say anything about what he can do with a guitar.
No, probably not.
And Andy is exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. He won't tell you the way he can walk around a board.
No.
and the way he can mix things.
And the and way, oh, his ears, well, man.
You know, I mean, yeah. like, the guy's got just
yeah.
radar for ears.
He does, he does.
You know, and he knows how to put things together.
He does, he does.
But yet he's one of the most unassuming people you'd ever meet.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, speaking of that, you've done quite a bit of recording down there, and you've done yeah. some with more than just...
Yeah, well, people just kept walking through the door, you know? It's like, my Andrew was great, right? You know, but most of these people, I knew them all, and was already were friends with some of them, but there were some I wasn't, you know? Like, Russell Tenard, he ended up doing the drums with us, right?
Yeah.
I've known Russell for quite a while then, by then,
yeah.
you know? But Glenn McCoy... You know, recognize the name Glenn McCoy. And when Glenn was there banging on bongos, you know, and yeah. stuff, and just hanging out. But so, and he has, hey, there's one song there, maybe we'll get John Spurns in with his cello, you know. So in John Spurns walks through the door, and he used to play with the Royal Nova Scotia Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
So we sat down and worked on that, and I played harmonica, and John played the cello. And we, and you know, that was a good piece of work. Baby Don't Cry. That one. Yeah, so there was a lot of influences coming in that door, right? And now you can get your influences in some good places. There's a place to get them.
Well, right? I mean, you know, we've said it a million times on the show, well, maybe not a million, that might be exaggerating a little bit, but we've said it time and time and time again here, the collaboration that's in the yeah. East Coast of Canada when it comes to music
yeah.
is astronomical. You could be in a bar with somebody and just have met them and say, oh, you play in so-and-so's band, yes. You know, I'm doing a project, and there's one part of it, and I think that you would just be perfect for it. And the guy says, where at and what time?
Yeah.
You know? It's yeah. like, not what is
yeah.
it, or anything like that. It's like, okay. when and where? Yeah, I'm
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it crosses genres of yeah. music. It crosses everything, right? You know, yeah. you get a guy from the bluegrass scene that says, oh, yeah, I'll come and help you with that rock and roll song. No problem at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a couple more from Mr. Monty Shepherd right here in the Wolf's Den on CIOE 97.5, the home of East Coast music.
You can try living with it, or you can try living without. It's the glue that holds life together, yeah. That's what love is all about. You could own your own corporation, the old damn thing go bust, and then the very next day meet your wife on a bus. Some roads you don't wanna take, but some of them you must. You could try living with it, or you could try living without. That old life together, yeah. That's what love is all about. You can live in a penthouse suite with money flowing free, or you could be a working man making a living on the sea. A little bit of love and kindness may determine who you'll be. You could try living with it, try living without. It's the glue that holds life together, yeah. That's what love is all about, all about. You could be your one and only, only lonely, lonely only. Only you. You can try living with it, or you can try living without. It's the glue that holds life together, yeah. That's what love is all about. You could be a taxi driver, live your life in a car, or you could be an entrepreneur, maybe you own a bar. When you come home late at night, it's important to know who you are. You can try living with it. tried living without. It's the glue that holds life together, yeah. That's what love is all about. All about. All about. It's the glue that holds life together, yeah. That's what love is all about.
Welcome back to the Wolf's Den, ladies and gentlemen. We have Monty Shepherd in the studio. Now, Monty, we've been talking about your singer-songwriting stuff, and we've been talking about you playing. One of the things that people don't know, and I didn't really realize until tonight when you walked in the room, was you have a situation that's going on with your hands and your feet.
Yes.
That make it extremely difficult for you to move your digits. Is that correct?
Yes, very, very difficult. Yes, my hands don't work very good at all anymore. My thumbs, I don't have use of my thumbs a lot.
So what's this called again? Because I know you said it's really long.
Yeah, it's CIDP, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy.
Holy smokes.
What do you think of that?
Say that 8 times fast, right? So,
no guitar players want to get CIDP.
No, that's not anything that you want to hear at all. So now it affects your hands and it affects your feet.
Yes, it does.
And you're not using a pick anymore. You're just strumming now. You can't use your pick anymore.
I can't hold on to a pick. I created one. I have a pick at home, but I can't really use that much anymore either.
Okay.
I just can't get the push out of it.
All right. Right?
So everything's done with my finger and my thumb that doesn't really work very good at all. I can still manage to get the top string on with that one, you know.
Well, you know what, Monty, I hope that you can find some relief with it and that you don't lose your ability to play, because we really need to be able to hear you. Speaking of that, we were talking just a little while ago, you had mentioned a place called the Purcell's Road Club. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, please? Let our audience know a little bit more about that place.
Purcell's Cove Club, right? Yeah. That was Bill and all the boys took me down there. That was Paul Martell. That's where I first got up on stage with Russell and Bill and all those guys.
And it's still going.
Yeah, it is. But they brought me in there. It was me and Paul went in there and we were only there. There were maybe two or three songs they played and that was it. And it was like, Monty, come up here. So I went up and got with the boys and we've been, whatever, friends ever since. Just, you know,
but, I mean,
lost Paul, lost Bill, and
the
other guys are still going, still down Andrews back and forth and stuff, and
going
to Purcell's Cove Club.
And I know the Purcell's Cove Club is still going strong.
Yes, yes.
You know, now, Monty, you don't do a whole lot of performing anymore. I mean, not live anyway. You're, like you say, you're at Sadie's all the time, and people could probably catch you at the Purcell's Cove Club. But now, do you have your music online anywhere? Is there anything where people can find it?
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube, some stuff there.
So they just go looking for Monty Shepherd.
Monty Shepherd, or if you want to hear me and Bill Wallingham, you look up The Monty Shepherd Band on SoundClick.
Okay.
And that's there. There's an album there, 9 songs.
Nice.
There's under Monty Shepherd on YouTube, you'll find me and the boys out in the shed. They're banging out a few things.
All right.
And there's one track off of Life's Highway, which we've been playing.
Yeah.
And that was Baby Don't Cry with John Spurns and the cello and me with the harmonica and all that.
Nice.
And there's more stuff connected to it, right?
All right.
There's
so more. People, if they go and they start digging, they're going to find you, right?
And Al Ault, of course, who I meant to mention and Ed mentioned, played a bunch of guitar parts and some tracks on that album, which was awesome.
All right.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, take my part out, put Al in. It was like that. Take my part out, put Al in. You know, we had all these tracks. So, remove mine, put Al in. You know, he's like, what do you want me there for?
Well, you know what, Monty? I think that they wanted you there because, my friend, as far as I'm concerned, you contribute greatly
in
everything
that I've
heard. And I like your style of writing.
Yeah.
I like your style of person.
Thank you.
Been a great, great... Great time to have you here in the Wolf's Den. We really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, JW, thank you, brother. Want to thank my producer, Mr. JW Jones there. He's always here for me, keeps me on track most of the time. Ladies and gentlemen, like we always, always say in the Wolf's Den, you know the drill so well by now. Please, please, please be kind to one another. Be nice. It really doesn't take a whole lot, okay? It's easier to smile than it is to frown. And always, always, always hug the ones you love. Hey, Cliff, love you, brother.
You could travel in a boxcar, ride on a shooting star, get popped out of a mason jar, but nothing's faster than Spunky on the Peanut Highway. You can ride on a frog's back, get carried in a gunny sack, bounced off some billy fat, but nothing's faster than Spunky on the Peanut Highway. Now you should see him when he gets going. The hearts are pumping and the bloods are flowing. When he takes the flying, there ain't no slowing on the Peanut Highway. You could slide down a waterfall, get struck by a tennis ball, skateboard in a shopping mall, but nothing's faster than Spunky on the Peanut Highway. You could travel in a boxcar, ride on a shooting star, get popped out of a mason jar, but nothing's faster than Spunky on the Peanut Highway. Now you should see him when he gets going. The hearts are pumping and the bloods are flowing. When he takes the flying, there ain't no slowing on the Peanut Highway. On the Peanut Highway. On the Peanut Highway. On the Peanut Highway. My love, this dry land has given me nothing but sorrow. Take me back to see my love. It's the only way that I can find tomorrow. She has amazing strength, don't trust her. She'll knock you down with all she musters. So take me back to see my love. The stars will steer me in the right direction. Take me back to see my love, with her I've always had a strong affection. She has amazing strength, don't trust her. She'll knock you down with all she musters. Now when my time is done, don't lay me under no cherry tree. When my time is done, just send me back to sea, back to sea. my love. Take me back to see my love. Take me back to see my love.
Wasn't looking at all. I got a fire.